episode 119 of...
Brutal Battle.
Yes, it's Rebecca. Getting to sit down, do the co-hosting. I feel like you've actually been on a lot of episodes recently,
though. I have been.
But this is a little different.
This is a different, yes. I'm going to say this is an actual, like, real episode.
Like a mystery beer episode. Yes. Every episode's a real episode.
Right.
It just depends on what we do, but this is a mystery beer episode, which you've done one before.
I have done one before. And they were both poopy beers.
It didn't go so well. Yeah. So hopefully what we have in front of us today is much better. I think you've done it twice, actually. Because there was the one where I knew what it was,
but you didn't know.
And those were bad. And then there was one where neither of us knew, and I think we had at least one good one. Because I think Old Rasputin was one of those beers.
No, I don't even remember.
So we had Mike Johnzak, who was on the show very recently, go ahead and get some mystery beers together for us at his liquor store. And he packaged them up, he wrapped them all up so we can't tell what they are, put them in a bag, and had them rung up just as beer so I can't tell what I'm purchasing. The only thing I know is one cost $1.99 and the other one cost $2.49, mm-hmm. and they're 12-ounce bottles. So that's what I know. Also, Mike said he's had them before, and he does not like one of them.
Ooh, so, thanks a lot, Mike.
Right. Well, that
yeah, that's
know,
yeah.
He has a very particular taste. He's mainly an IPA
that's true.
Guy,
that's
so
true.
You know, I don't know. It could be stuff that we like. I don't know. I know he always thinks about putting macros in when we do this kind of stuff. He always tells me he thinks about it, and even tries to tell you to pick out
he
macros.
Does.
But
he does.
I'm not sure he would do that to you, because he knows that when I come to pick him
sweet.
Up, it's for you to be on the show.
Mike's such a good guy.
He is a good guy. He's a good guy. So that's what we're doing, but do you know what happens on these normal episodes, Rebecca?
Well, right before this, I was like, are we going to have to do that hop knowledge thing?
Do what? Do hop knowledge.
Yeah, here we go.
We do have to, and we're doing it.
How many more hops do you have?
I got more. Enough for some more months. I mean,
really?
It might take us through 2015, is
what
I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot of hops out there.
Yeah, there are a lot. So today's hop is Southern Star, is what it's called. Southern Star hops came from the same breeding program in South Africa that produced both Atuniqua and Southern Promise, which we covered Southern Promise recently. These two revolutionized hops, hop cultivation in South Africa by producing day-neutral varieties or breeds that could grow in the minimal daylight hours of the region. Southern Star came nearly a decade later in 2001 and was a cross between Atuniqua and a South African male. It's a bittering hop with an alpha acid content of between 12 and 14%, which is among the highest for that particular region where they're grown, which is interesting. The aroma will come through in the brewing process and carries a submissive yet appetizing seasoned spicy tang. Sounds interesting. It's a strong grower, and it produces well. So, it's apparently a pretty versatile hop as well. There's actually only one example here. A brewery called Castle Brewery, they used it for their Castle Lager. So, that's the only one that I have. So, Rebecca, we have a warm-up beer.
I'm so excited.
Oh, why are you excited?
Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to do this first.
Oh, do the warm-up beer first and then do the hop knowledge.
Yeah.
I guess I could have had you start to pour.
Well, that would be nice for your guest so I could have something to sip on.
That's true. You are like a legit guest.
Yeah,
so
I guess I'm a legit guest.
I'm cracking the beer. And I will go ahead and pour for you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ma'am, thank you so much for coming on
the
show.
Yeah.
So today what we're doing for our warm-up beer is the 18th anniversary beer by Firestone Walker. This one was put out in 2014, and people who are familiar with Firestone Walker will know that it's a blend. All their anniversary beers are blended beers. It's a bunch of their stuff that's blended together to taste very good. This one in particular is 13% alcohol by volume. It's usually higher ABV beers that they blend together, and they all have barrel aging involved. So I'm very interested to get into this, and then we'll tell you why we're doing this particular beer, because sometimes we'll just do it, just the warm-up beer will just be because we feel like it, you know, wherever we feel like. But this one has a significance for what we're then going to talk about. So
is this the first anniversary beer you've had from them?
Yes. I've never had one of their anniversary beers.
Okay. You pulled this paper out and looked at it before, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone tells me that as far as beer blending goes, Firestone Walker's hands down the best.
Hmm.
So I was very excited when I was able to get my hands on
this. I'm going to start drinking.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
First of all, it smells delicious.
Well, we are going to talk about the smell and everything, so...
I don't care.
Okay, that's fine. But I'll talk about the smell, and you can join in then. So it's actually a blend of 9 of their beers. Some of these I've actually heard of, but some of them I haven't heard of at all. So I'm assuming they're beers that either they just have available at their brewery or very locally in California. So the majority of this one is Parabola, which is their bourbon barrel-aged Russian Imperial Stout. Russian Imperial Oatmeal Stout, I'm sorry. And that makes up 38% of it. And then behind that, you have the Hel Dorado, which is a blonde barley wine, and their Bravo, which is an Imperial Brown Ale. Everything aged in barrels. Those in bourbon barrels. Well, bourbon and brandy barrels for the Hel Dorado and the Bravo. And those are both 16%. You have Sticky Monkey with 14% aged in bourbon and brandy barrels, and that's an English barley wine. You have Velvet Merkin, which is their traditional oatmeal stout aged in bourbon barrels. That's 5%. 4% is their Hydra Cuvée, which is aged in bourbon barrels. And it's a collaboration with Flying Dog from Sabre 2014.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, interesting. And that was actually a blend of Gonzo and Wookiee and Double Barrel and Bravo, apparently. Then you have 3% of Wookiee Jack, which is their American Black Ale. You have 2% of Old Leghorn, which is a collaboration with Three Floyds, aged in American Oak Barrels, and it was an English barley wine. And then rounding it out, you have 2% of Double Jack, which is their Double IPA. So, a lot going into it, and I've been told... I've been told that what they do is they just put tons and tons and tons of different blends, combinations together, and then they have a bunch of people come in and taste them. And I think, at least this past year, this year, or the year prior as well, they had some sort of contest that people could win the opportunity to come in and taste
that would be fun.
All these different blends. And then they end up voting, and they figure out what the best blend is to put out as their anniversary beer. So,
well, that's what I was going to say, is how do you find out, okay, I need exactly 2% of this versus 3%. You know, that whole process must be so fascinating.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. So it's super dark, as you can imagine, because there's a lot of stout action going on in this. But you can see a little bit of brown around the edges. It's kind of a little see-through in certain areas. There's a lot of barley wine involved in this. When I smell it, I get a lot. I get a good amount of bourbon. I get that oaky, woody aspect. I get a lot of caramel. I get a lot of vanilla.
It's just like, smells like dessert.
I get brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Something presents to me a little bit, all those coming together presents a little bit like banana-y. More like a Bananas Foster, which is like, you know, some burnt brown sugar and some chocolate. There are some chocolate notes in it as well. And it smells really, really nice. Very rich.
Just like it, like melted dark chocolate. Like
there's
it,
that.
And there's like just gooey. It makes you just, the caramel, smell just makes you vanilla, feel like warm. And
brown sugar, all the goodness. I'm hoping this is one of those beers that tastes exactly like it smells. Rebecca already knows because she went ahead.
I couldn't resist.
You broke protocol.
I do what I want.
That's fine.
I was just telling Carlin, he poured the 2 mystery beers, and I was like, man, I wanted a dark one. But then I knew what we were doing for the warm-up, and I was like, okay.
So there you go. There's your dark.
Yeah.
So I just tasted it super smooth, a lot less. I mean, you can taste a lot less of the ABV than I thought you'd be able to.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you can tell it's a strong ABV, but I would not guess it's 13.
I would definitely not put this at 13. I put this at 10. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's presenting like 3% less than what it actually is. I get a lot of barley wine aspect out of it right up front. Very like brown sugary, caramelly, those type of notes.
Yeah.
I'm getting that oakiness. I'm getting the bourbon, obviously. A lot of that bourbon spirit aspect to it. After you take a sip and you just let it sit, your throat starts really warming up. Mm-hmm. Like, really, really, really warming up. So, well, that's that 13%. Yeah.
The first two sips I took, I was like, you know, you breathe out your nose and it burns a little bit.
Yeah.
But now it's mellowing out a little.
A lot of the vanilla right now. I'm getting some of that kind of chocolate aspect, yeah. But it's more of like a light milk chocolate note. Yeah, not so not, much like dark.
It's
not dark,
but it just, love it.
Yeah, wow. This beer is super friggin' smooth, especially for how high the ABV is. It's like silk. It is like a high ABV silk beer. Just
chocolate silk.
Yeah, it's, well, and all the notes we talked about, the vanilla, the caramel, yeah. The oak, like everything, it's all in there and it's all integrated in an even way. Nothing is competing to try and beat the other stuff out, which is super nice.
It's just, yeah, very balanced. It's
really going to enjoy finishing this bottle tonight.
I know.
And I'm glad we opened it up. Although I am a little curious if we would have opened it earlier, since this was a 2014 release. If we would have opened it earlier, would we have gotten a little bit more of the hop type notes? Like the Wookiee Jack has more of a hoppy aspect. And I know the Double Jack's only 2% in this, but I wonder if maybe we could perceive a little bit of a hop aspect out of that. But woulda, coulda, shoulda.
You never know. I think that's what's so hard is, it's hard to know for your particular taste when you're going to best like a beer. Right.
And these beers are made to be able to age. So, you know, I think we're fine.
Now,
so the reason
we did this beer, I was ready to jump into the mystery beers.
You're so eager to just taste beers. That's good, though. I mean, there's an enthusiasm.
I'm like, okay, let's get this show on the road.
There's an enthusiasm because you don't get to do this often. You're usually on the other side of it.
I know, it's true.
You know, you're the one who knows what the beers are, and it's a lot of fun to taste mystery beers.
I'm the one upstairs watching reality TV.
Yeah, pretty much. So, we picked this Firestone Walker 18th anniversary because when we're recording this is right after Firestone Walker was acquired, I guess, by Duvel Morgat, the company that does Duvel beer out of Belgium. I was sounding like it was a question because depending on what source you read, some people are saying they were acquired by Duvel, and in other situations they're saying they are combining, but staying separate is kind of the thing. So
what does that mean?
I don't know. And that's one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about, which is, could this be the new way that brewery acquisitions are going to go? When companies come in and purchase them, are they going to say, this is a combining of companies and we're still separate, but it is an actual acquisition? You know what I mean? Because I feel like it's a very tactful way to say, we got bought, but try to trick people into thinking that you're going to stay your own entity, which, with a lot of the purchases that already have happened.
But that might be true.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. With some of the purchases that have happened, it's basically been like these companies are still independent. Like, perfect example, two breweries that Duvel previously purchased, Brewery Omegang out of New York, Cooperstown, New York, I believe. And then also Boulevard out of Missouri, I believe St. Louis, Missouri. They purchased both of them, and they've continued to operate very independently. And in one case, I was reading an article, and they said you could actually argue that Boulevard's beers got even better after they were acquired.
Oh, and that's the benefit of that collaboration, you know? Mm-hmm. Two heads are better than one type idea.
And that's one of the things that was said in the one article I read is, this is a long-term collaboration. Basically, a collaboration that will never stop between Duvel and Firestone Walker. But the thing for me is, only time's going to tell what this actually is. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like they're pretty much separate, or is it going to be like Duvel actually bought them? I don't know. It's a little too early. I don't think, based on the track record of Duvel's other acquisitions, that they're going to end up causing any sort of downturn in the Firestone Walker product. I think it's going to stay quality. Because from the article I read, they're going to continue to allow the owners to maintain like very close control of how things go. One of the main things they were talking about is just being able to really get more financial backing to increase as they've wanted to, and just increase like expansion, distribution, output, you know, things like that. So But then they also said something interesting in one of the articles that was basically like, they'll also have access to the facilities for Boulevard and Brewery Omegang too. So I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing a bunch of collaborations.
Yeah.
Is there going to be like a Firestone Walker Omegang collab or Firestone Walker Boulevard or all three of them? I'd like to see all three of them and how that would turn out. Well, they all
have, by and large, good products, so it should be kind of interesting to see what happens.
They do all have good products, but they all actually do very different stuff, though.
They do. I was just going to say they're known for different styles.
Yeah, very different. So in that sense, you could say that Duvel's very smart for going out and getting such different breweries.
Diversifying.
Yeah, super diverse. Whereas, you know, a company like Anheuser-Busch InBev, which is also from Belgium, I have to point out, they're kind of just going out and being like, whatever craft breweries we can get, in a sense. They're not trying to pick like this. But then, I guess to their credit, they probably don't have as much of a choice as Duvel does, because Duvel's a little, well, not a little, significantly more well thought of in the craft beer community and well liked. So if a brewery's approached by Anheuser-Busch InBev, they know they're going to get a lot of shit for it.
Right.
If they're approached by Duvel, they know they're probably not going to get any or minimal.
Right.
So they can feel safe about that. Plus, like I said, you know, looking at the track record of their other acquisitions, it looks like they're pretty hands-off. Or if they are hands-on, they're still allowing the product to be quality. So, you know.
Interesting.
But I'm really, really wondering what it actually is that's going on with this.
You'll never know.
Because the way the article, one of the articles I read was written, it sounds like there's money involved changing hands. So that would say acquisition to me. So will this then, if that's what this is, will this then become the new norm for any time a brewery is acquired that they say, we're combining forces, we're combining but staying separate?
Yeah. Well, it's just, it sounds better.
But, you know, they made a point of saying, you know, Firestone Walker is going to continue to make all their same beers with the same quality, and Duvel is going to do the same. They're going to stay separate but help each other out. I don't know. Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should cheers this 18th anniversary to Firestone Walker to say, well, first of all, this is an awesome beer, so thanks for doing that. And what an achievement for making something like this. But also, good luck to you in the future. Hopefully this, you know, acquisition, combination, whatever you want to call it, actually works out for you.
Cheers.
There you go. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm already feeling this beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the danger. It doesn't taste like it's 13%, but it is. So it'll creep up on you.
So good.
Cool.
I feel like,
well,
I want to eat a donut with it.
Oh, donut. Just like a straight up sugar donut.
Ugh,
would be great with that. You don't need to get fancy. Just a sugar donut would be awesome.
I want it.
Well, sorry, we don't have donuts around the house. We're a little more health conscious typically than that.
I wish the donuts would deliver themselves to me.
There's an idea, a company that does donut delivery.
Mm. Okay, now we start off with A. Which one was A?
A is the lighter of the two, which is, you know, typically how it is. Yeah. So, yep, let's get into these mystery beers. I'll say right off the bat, well, we can do them one by one. A is very hazy.
Hazy.
It's yellow, very like straw yellow, but hazy. You can kind of see through it because it's so light. But, you know, I have my finger on the other side of the glass and it's just like real blurry. I can tell it's my finger, kind of, but it's blurry. It's got a bit of a decent amount of white head just sticking around on top of it. Pretty small bubbles to that head, but
mine doesn't really have much head, though.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. That's weird. Maybe it's because I got the bottom and something there's doing it. But whereas some of these beers, when we pour them, the carbonation's, like, flowing up from the bottom, there's nothing going on with this one.
Oh, I have some in mine.
I have a little bit. Oh, my gosh. I do. It's just I didn't put it up to the light far enough. The carbonation that's coming up is so
small. Yeah, it's very small.
So fine. Okay. Let's smell it.
It smells like a sour.
It does smell sour. It smells like funky sour. Like, it smells like a lager yeast. It smells like a Pilsner's type yeast to it. It smells a little wheat-like.
Yeah, it smells like a sour wheat.
Yeah, and there's that kind of soury aspect. It's a... What's that sour? don't know. I think the sourness smells like butt. Like, it doesn't smell
really?
Like...
Really? I think it smells good.
It doesn't smell like a good sour to me. Oh, like, I that, like it. That Pilsner-y yeast aspect I'm getting like is like...
It smells like a Berliner Weiss.
Actually, it does. It does smell kind of Berliner Weiss-ish.
I don't know what that smell is, but that's...
Well, that's kind of like the weedy aspect is that what, to it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But you can definitely smell that there's some sour aspects. Giving a little bit of a lemony note.
I was just going to say lemon. I'm getting a lot of wheat. I just swirled my glass more and I got a ton of wheat.
It's really weird, but I get like this fleeting note of coffee.
No.
It's really weird. Okay. That's probably just me.
Probably just you. Okay, I'm drinking.
Yeah, you... Well, tell me what you get first. What's the very first thing?
Nothing.
This is really...
deceiving.
Kind of bland.
Yeah. Like, I don't...
There's a tart aspect to it.
But very mild. I guess I was expecting a little bit more.
It's... like... this might be like a super low-grade Goza, is my thought.
Salty. Mm-hmm.
It's not bad, but it's not particularly... I don't want to say it's not particularly good because it depends on what you're looking for, honestly. I could see a good situation for this beer, but there's not a lot of flavor. It's not robust. It's not in your face. You have to really try hard to get much of any note. The sour is very light.
The sour is light. The salt is light.
It's light. But there is a bit of a saltiness to it.
I'm really only getting like some hints of wheat and hints of not lime.
Lemon aspect. Yeah. I agree with that.
And that's about it.
It's very watery. It's...
it's easy to drink, that's for sure.
It kind of tastes a little bit like if you had lemonade... and you had ice in the lemonade, and you had just, like, the smallest amount of lemonade left, and the ice all melted, so it's, like, super diluted lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it tastes like to me, a little bit.
Because I'm very much about the Union Brewery's Old Pro, which is local to us, and their Goza, and I'm really liking that this summer with the salt aspects, and I'm comparing it to that, and
well, it's very different. You know, I don't really hate this beer. The more I keep drinking, the more I'm kind of warming up to it a little bit. Because, yes, it's very neutral and it's kind of watery. But there is enough of that sour aspect to keep me interested. To keep me going back. I feel like someone could bill this as a session sour. That's how I feel that this could be billed.
Yeah. I don't think they have any of those, do they?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah. That's Weyerbacher... of brewing their Tarte Nouveau.
Oh,
they call
right.
that a session sour. So yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm kind of indifferent. I was very excited by the smell.
Yeah. Well, the smell has a lot more tartness coming off of it.
Yeah.
But.
This has to be the one he doesn't like.
Probably, yeah, because he hates sour beers, so. I don't think that's that bad. I'll finish that. That's actually.
I'll finish it. I won't dump it.
It's pretty solid. Kinda.
Although I will definitely be drinking the Firestone Walker. And if I still want more beer, then I'll drink this.
Okay. Duly
Which
noted.
Which is always like interesting though, because we had such a, I wonder if we would have maybe not done this particular warm up beer and then drank this, what our palates would have thought.
Actually, if anything, I think that the sourness was probably amplified in this beer because of the darker notes we were getting and the heavier body that we were getting out of the Firestone Walker beer.
I just always think it's interesting the tasting order and how they can either play off each other in a good way or a bad way. And
it can happen. That's another reason why I like to take a drink of beer. I like to take a drink of beer in between mystery beers. No, I like to take a drink of water in between mystery beers. Sometimes a drink of beer, too, though. This is very orange.
Like a copper.
Yeah, I could say it's copper. Super see-through. Mm-hmm. No haze whatsoever. It actually looks pretty beautiful.
I think I think I can do a vision chart through it.
Oh, you mean like at the optometrist?
Yeah,
that type of vision chart.
E C.
So you can read through it.
I think so. I think I could.
The glass distorts things.
Well, yeah,
though.
But I mean, I think I could. I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't get 20/20, but
okay, you'd get close, maybe.
I don't even think I'd get close. I'd be like 20/100.
Smell this. It smells hoppy.
It does smell hoppy.
There's some citrus.
I say I get orange.
Yes, orangey. A little bit of the peel aspect in there.
I get a little pineapple.
Yeah, I could see a little pineapple. There's something.
I also get chili pepper.
I don't smell that. I smell a little bit of a piney aspect
like
in there,
sort
though.
Sort of like hot spice, like a red pepper flake.
I don't smell that. Okay.
Well, I do.
I get a little bit of a bubblegum type smell to it.
You always say bubblegum.
Yeah, it's just certain beers, like a citrusy bubblegum.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
It smells like that to me. Okay. It smells good, but.
It does smell really good.
Yeah, it smells really good.
The last one smelled really good too, though, so we'll see.
There is the slightest bit of that piney aspect in the.
But more citrus, though.
Oh, way more citrus. But actually, when I was saying like citrus bubblegum, it's actually more of like a citrus flavor mixed with a straight up. Like bubble yum, regular bubble gum flavor.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I figured that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Like a bubble gum.
You know, clarify.
Like a bubble gum Jelly Belly.
Yes, a lot like a bubble gum Jelly Belly.
I mean, I don't smell that, but when you describe that, that's always what I think of.
Also smell, because their cotton candy Jelly Belly is a little.
Oh, I was going to say the Tutti Frutti.
Oh, yeah, I could see some of that in this, too. This is like the Jelly Belly beer.
Carlin and I like to eat Jelly Bellies. People are probably like, how do you know all this?
We're like Jelly Belly connoisseurs, basically.
We play the game where we're like, okay, close your eyes. Which one is this? And you have to name it.
Yeah, it's like a super fun game.
I never do very well. Like, everything is like either cotton candy or buttered popcorn.
Everyone can feel free to use the Jelly Belly game. Mm-hmm. We have not patented that.
Yeah, because we're the only people that do that.
By the way, that reminds me. We've been talking about doing like beer and food at some point, which we will. Maybe we should do a Jelly Bellies and Beer episode.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not. It could be perfect.
Ugh.
There are all sorts of different flavors.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we could find the right stuff. Like, they have the chocolate pudding ones. You could put that with the right beer. They have marshmallow. Marshmallow, you could put that with stouts. How good would that be? Come on.
So what would you do? Just eat like a whole handful of jelly beans?
Well, it depends on how much you feel you need. Maybe four at a time. Eat like four of the same flavor and then, you know. Or you can even make your own flavors up. You can do like a peanut butter one and a strawberry jam one, and then eat that, and then, you know, have a stout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See what I mean? Like peanut butter and jelly stout. It's a thing. Like people actually make those.
You go ahead and do that.
Okay, I haven't even tasted this beer yet.
Oh,
you have.
I've already been like sipping on it.
Tell me what you're getting out of it.
Maybe I'm just comparing everything to the Firestone Walker.
It tastes bubblegummy. It tastes bubblegummy.
You know what? I will have to say it tastes more bubblegummy than it smelled to me.
It tastes very bubblegum.
I was kind of hoping for a little more hops, but.
Well, I mean, the bittering, it's very bitter, and that's where the hops come into play.
Yeah.
Hops impart a lot of bitterness. What you kind of mean is you wish
I like the citrus.
You wish these particular hops were imparting more citrus notes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you get any citrus notes?
A little bit. Not as much as I did on the nose, though.
And are you getting any of that pineapple you were talking about? Or are you just getting, like, orange? Like, what are you pulling out of this?
I feel like it tastes more piney.
Mm-hmm. It's very much more piney.
I'm getting more pine and bitter than...
Yeah. It's bitter. It's got that spicy pininess to it. Definitely tastes very bubblegummy to me. It tastes real bubblegummy.
Okay.
I think the bitterness is a little harsh to me, though.
I was just going to say, it's not as well-rounded as I would like.
It's not bad, though.
No.
I'm liking the bubble gum. I think the pine is not out of kilter.
No. It's in check.
Yeah, it's definitely in check. And then there's that little bit of a citrusy aspect to it. You just went back to A.
I went back to A, and now I like A more.
Mm-hmm. I bet you do. Yeah, man.
It has a lot more sour flavors to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after having B, a little more sour. But it's still very light.
Like I said,
session sour. So it seems like to me. I don't know. This is actually gonna be really hard. Oh, you do remember you're gonna have to give a number.
Right, I know. I hate this part.
You can use your own. People typically ask. They're like, "How are we doing this? What's
I
the
do
scale
my own.
Like?"
I do my own scale.
So, I don't know. If you want, I can try and take the lead
Go ahead.
I think I need to take another sip of B because I'm kind of confused where I should put it.
Okay, I do like B more. I feel like I like them both now after having them both. Like, going back and forth between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, the bubblegum notes are nice, and the more I'm drinking B, the more I'm getting a little more used to that bitter aspect. And the pine is not bad at all. Like, the pine's pretty in check.
You do this out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
No halves. Pretty much everyone asks, can we do halves? I'm like, no, that's why we do 10.
Yeah.
Because originally we were thinking 5. And I was like, and we were like, can we do halves? No, just put it to 10. It's like doing halves.
This is tough.
It is. Okay. I think I know where I want to go. I am going to give a 4, which is pretty good. I think A is not bad.
Okay.
You know, for me, like, if I give something a 2, it's like, eh. If I give something a 3, I'm like, that's pretty solid. If I give something a 4, it's a little more than that. It's like, that's pretty good. So I'm going to give it a 4, and then I'm going to give a 3 to B, just slightly under it.
Okay.
3 is still not bad.
I'm actually going to do that. Kind of the same. I'm going to give A a 4 as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to give B a 5.
B a 5? Wow.
I'm not as brutal as you are.
That is totally good. So these tie. These beers are...
Oh.
Yeah. So they each equal out to a 4.
Okay.
So, good episode?
Yeah. I mean, I
know you probably wanted beers that would, like, knock you away.
Yeah.
You said that when I poured them and brought them out, you were like, I was hoping for something dark.
It's probably my own bias.
Yeah. But, you know, you just, this is what's fun about it. You never know what you're going to get. Things that you might see on the shelf and say, I don't want to try that, you're going to end up trying it here, potentially, and then you'd be like, oh, well, I wouldn't have tried that, but guess what? I like it.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of like Stitch Fix, if there are any ladies out there that know Stitch Fix.
For men, Birchbox.
No, Trunk something.
Trunk Club or...
Yeah, Trunk Club. I think that's what it's called. They're clothes that you wouldn't necessarily pick out for yourself, but then you try them on and you like them.
It's like a subscription clothing club.
Yeah.
Something.
Anyway, sorry. That's what I thought of.
That's fine.
Now we reveal them?
Yeah, we reveal them. You can reveal them however you want. I will give you the honors. No, I'm giving you the honors because I reveal them all the time.
So I can reveal in any order because they were tied.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we'll do A first.
Okay.
Oh.
I had a suspicion he was going to put this one in there.
It's Bell's...
I've never had it, though.
Bell's Oarsman?
Bell's Brewery's Oarsman. Bell's Brewery just recently came to Maryland, distribution-wise.
And it doesn't really say the style on it, does it?
Let me see. Oarsman Ale.
It just describes it.
And they're out of Comstock, Michigan. It doesn't say an actual style. It says, buoyant, tart, and refreshing from using traditional sour mash methods. Great for you and your crew. 4% alcohol. Isn't that funny? Because it got a 4.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
It's 4% alcohol.
Well, isn't that funny? Because you're drinking that one and then drinking...
13%. Yeah. I would say that this is like a session sour, though. And it's funny because Mike had, I had been in not long ago, and I was asking how the Bell's stuff was because he tried all of it. And he was like, I think you might like the Oarsman. It's kind of a bit sour. He's like, I don't like it. So when I was driving away from the liquor store today after I picked the beers up, I was like, I wonder if he gave me the Oarsman because he had been talking about it recently. Maybe it's on his mind. So he, in fact, did do that. So that's cool.
Oh, so I'm just looking at it on Untappd. Guess what style it is?
Berliner Weiss.
It is a Berliner Weiss.
Oh, there you go. And that's what you said originally.
Boom. Point for me.
Mm-hmm. But it's got a bit of a salty aspect, too. So I could see it being kind of confused for like a low-grade Goza.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
B is...
Oh, okay. It's Flying Dog's Single Hop Columbus Imperial IPA.
Yeah, Flying Dog does...
10%!
That's 10%? That does not taste like 10%.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-mm.
We're not going to be able... We're going to...
Yeah.
We're too old to be drinking this kind of stuff.
That doesn't taste like 10%. Anyone who doesn't know, Flying Dog does a series. Every now and then they'll put out a single hop Imperial IPA with a different hop, and this one is Columbus. They've done a bunch. They've done, like, Warrior, they did Citra, they did El Dorado, Chinook.
Okay, so Columbus.
What's so cool about this line of beers, to me, is that you get a great idea of what a single hop characteristic is, you know?
I think that's so fun, yeah.
That's what I like. One of the things I love to do with some of their beers is just get a bunch of them lined up if we could get them all fresh, but you really can't because they stagger them. Yeah. But if there was a way to, like, get a bunch of them fresh and just line them up and try all the different ones and see the differences between those hops, that'd be so cool.
You know what's okay? So interesting on this label, it says bitterness, flavor, and aroma in that order.
So it is in that order.
Yeah, it's exactly what we picked up on too.
Yeah, pretty much. Wow, 10% really? I would have. I could have put that between 7 and 8, honestly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Interesting.
But there isn't there a distinct bubblegum aspect in there? Still.
No.
I'm just saying it's there. It's. All right, no, listeners.
You are never going to convince me.
Listeners, go out, get this.
Well, they might not. How far does Flying Dog distribute?
Pretty friggin' far.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah. They're all over the place. If I have my phone handy, I can look up Seeker Brew. But so what did you think?
It's fun, you know, doing the blind stuff. It's kind of like a little nerve-wracking, though.
How's it nerve-wracking?
Because I'm like, oh my... Cause
you're just drinking beers. It's not like one of them has poison in them, potentially. No, but, you know?
Well, because, you know, you definitely don't want to, like, slam your favorite beer on...
But that's the whole point of this. You just abandon it. And if it happens,
I mean, it's funny when it happens to someone else. You just don't want to be that person.
This educates you. There have been times, like, most recently, probably... I've been saying for some time, I really don't like Sophie by Goose Island.
Oh, and you love
it. You put a Sophie on it. It was so good. And that's the thing. Your taste buds change over time. What you like changes. So I had Sophie many years ago, and for me at that point, I hated it.
Like one now, day, one really day like you might love Brussels sprouts.
Yes, exactly. Maybe. Probably not, though.
Oh, they're
so I looked up on SeekerBrew.com. If anyone's never used this website, it's awesome. You can bring up any state, and it'll tell you what breweries distribute there. You can also bring it up by brewery, and it'll tell you what states it distributes to. Very cool, in a map way. So SeekerBrew.com. So Flying Dog is, like, all the way East Coast. They hit the entire coast east from Maine down to Florida.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they go over to, like... as far as Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, but then around the bottom, they go even into Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, California, even Alaska and Hawaii.
Whoa, okay, yeah, wow. So, Flying Dog, go Flying Dog.
Yeah, there are some states they're missing in there, but I don't think they're really states that it matters all that much.
Huh, I wonder what made them, like, go into Alaska
and Missouri,
Hawaii.
Why aren't they in Missouri? Missouri is a good one for them. Louisiana could be a good one, Oregon and Washington, but one of the problems there is that they mainly just drink their own local stuff in Oregon and Washington, so, you know.
Cool.
Oh, well. But anyway, good episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well,
I didn't really have a choice.
No, you didn't. I corner you and I make you record.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on, but also I want to take this opportunity to thank you for everything you've done for this podcast.
Aw.
You coordinate a lot of stuff. It's not easy, especially not... the Decasodes. Those tournaments are a giant pain in the ass to coordinate and to, you know, get the bracket in the right order. Because I actually had my hand at it recently. We did one not recorded just for fun with the neighbors and some other people. And I set the whole thing up. And it takes a lot of time. It's a lot of work.
It is.
Everyone knows that Rebecca behind the scenes is working very hard. And then, of course, when you're on the podcast, you're working hard.
I know.
But you get to work hard and drink
just
a bunch
drinking.
Of beers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard work doing drinking. So, anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again, Rebecca, for being on. We'll have to see when we can get you on next in the mystery beer way.
Yeah.
But until then, thanks everyone and
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.